play.
Sir.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kane is in the building.
Yeah. It's alright, already the show goes on all night. Till the morning we dream so long. Anybody ever wonder when they will see the thunder? Just remember when you come up. The show goes on.
And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Always Pressing PGA DFS podcast. The second leg of the FedEx Cup playoffs, the BMW Championship, will be previewed on tonight's show. You can find me on Twitter at BD Hendrick, and my co-host, as always, on Twitter, Mr. I Hit Dustin Johnson OAD style, at DFS Golf Gods. Jesse, how we doing, man?
Yeah, it feels good to be like just way out of the money still. I look today, I'm only like $5 million back. So I feel like I can really close the gap here over the last however many tournaments we got. But it's going all the way through the Masters. So there is plenty of time, but I can't really have any hope in it. You know, it was funny. I the other day, you know, the intro song to this came on, and me and my wife were in the car, and I said, oh, the Always Pressing PGA DFS podcast is going to start. And she goes, this is your intro song? I said, yeah. She goes, it would be. And I said, and then I just did the whole entire spiel that you just did.
Perfect. That's awesome.
And welcome back. Anyways, dude, how you doing?
I'm good. Just another week. My golf weekend ended early because I decided to play guys that I thought were good at golf, and they decided to take the week off. It was impressive how many really, really good golfers just didn't show up this week. Absolutely. Yeah. Like, not even close to making the cut. They're just gone. It was unbelievable.
I fully expected like the 6-6 percentage to be above normal. Because it's 125 starting, and then, you know, cut to 65, so you cut out 60 or whatever. But there was some major chalk that missed, like Morikawa. Super surprised he missed. I expected him to have a really good round on Friday, and he did not. Who else?
Finau,
Bryson,
Woodland.
Finau. I forgot about Finau and Woodland. Yeah, those two. I played Finau. Of course, he misses the cut, so you can pretty much blame that on me. Yeah, dude, it was a strange week. Hey, Phil missed the cut. You saw that, obviously.
Did. Well, because Phil's dominating the senior tour today.
Did you see what he shot today?
Yeah, a nice little hefty 61 with a bow. And his one bogey was on a freaking par five of all holes. Like the holes you think he just peppered to death because he's dropping bombs on these guys. Dude, bogey's a par five.
He had an absolute insane bomb on one of those par fours, I'm sure, because he was hitting driver and he hit it just right at it and it landed about 20 feet and roll up to about 10. So,
you know, I meant to look, because I haven't got to see the highlights. I just saw it blowing up all over Twitter. I need to look. Tiger's got to be what, mid 40s right now?
Yeah, I'm not sure. Tiger's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I'm waiting for the day. Can we get like Tiger and Phil and like a couple of those guys all on the Champions Tour just peppering the crap out of those golf courses?
You know, just as well as I do, Tiger's not playing the Champions Tour.
Yeah. Jack never really did either. So, yeah, you're probably right. He'll probably just. When he's done, he's done. He'll just keep designing golf courses, and by then he'll be caddying for his son. Did you see that stuff this past week?
I did.
Caddying for his son. You know, how intimidating. It's bad enough you already know you're facing Tiger's son. Then he shows up on the bag.
Yeah.
Like,
that's rough. You'd just be like starstruck if you were a kid anyways.
Oh, and the dad's probably even more starstruck, ignoring his kid the whole time because he's sitting there trying to talk to Tiger. It'd be the best thing ever. But, wild week of golf. Absolutely wild. DJ. Like I was gonna just read Justin Ray's timeline, but I tweeted out last night. People go read the things he broke. 30 under par is just ridiculous. I don't care who you are, that is just stupid. And people can say, well, it was an easy golf course. Hey, they all play the same golf course. Mm-hmm. Like no one else was in 20. Like he beats people by 11 strokes in second place, and that's impressive. The record I think was 31 by Ernie Els, so he missed that by one. But Ernie Els did it at like in Hawaii. So let's compare the two, the fields and everything, a little different. But DJ dominated that. It's like 22nd career win. He's won like two times in the last five events. And in between that, he had 280s and a withdrawal. Let's not forget that. He should have won the PGA if he really showed up. Like there's what he's doing right now, it's not quite that run we saw of him a few years back, but he's pretty darn close to looked and locked in right about now.
Yeah, well, let's go back to Friday, right? Obviously, DJ started pretty hot on Thursday and then cooled off, shot 4 under. And then fucking Scottie Scheffler, man, 59, bogey free, 11. I think he had 12 birdies. Yep, no eagles. And then DJ, dude, that Friday round,
It was 908.
Yeah, and he was 11 through 11. And then part in, I don't know if you saw, you probably didn't read, but Club Pro Guy congratulated him on making 8 consecutive pars because he parred.
That's so perfect.
He parred the last 7 holes and then parred his first hole on Saturday. So he wanted to congratulate him on making the, I'm joining the 8 consecutive par club.
I love Club Pro Guy. Dude, so good. So good.
But yeah, I mean, that 59, then DJ, you know, should have shot 57 or, you know, 58 at least. But that was just crazy. One tweet that I saw from Sean Martin, which is at PGA Tour Martin or PGA Tours Martin, PGA Tour S Martin, whatever. DJ hit 65 greens at TPC Boston. That was 7 more than anyone else. And he's also the first winner since Corey Pavin in Milwaukee in 2006 to hit all 18 greens in the final round.
Yeah, that is ridiculous. If you just put that, wrap your head around that.
You got it figured out, dude. Wins by 11. I mean, you know, little rain stoppage there, and he was up by 9 at that point. I mean, just absolute insanity from DJ, man. And, you know, a lot of people saw it coming and knew he was going to win by 11. And so yesterday was pretty fun on Twitter. But, you know, it's just one of those things when DJ figures it out, man. And they actually mentioned it. You know, he figured out how to hit the fade again. And when he's hitting that fade, for some reason, man, the dude just has control over the golf ball like few have ever had in their – well, definitely in their lives, but few have ever had in the history of golf. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, it was impressive. I love people that try to downplay. That's why I wanted to kind of just talk about how crazy it was for two guys like ourselves that golf. And, you know, I'm a 16 or something. You're, what, a 4, 3, maybe less?
I'm up to 6.9.
You're 6.9. It's like, but you've played very, very good competitive golf. I try to play good competitive golf. And what DJ did this past weekend, I'm just like, it just blows my mind that someone can do something like that. And people try to clown on it. But when you see guys like Justin Thomas tweet out, go, what course did you just play? And he's like, I know I'm kidding, but my goodness, like that's impressive. When Justin Thomas, former number, now DJ's number one, by the way, like the fifth number one we've had since the restart of golf. Yeah. But JT, who's definitely one of the best golfers in the world as well, is just blown away. Yeah. Like that tells you what he just did is that crazy in golf standards. And then I love Kevin Kisner. So I love Kis to begin with because he's just a normal dude. Wants to go play golf, make some money, drink some beer. Like, he just totally chill, normal guy. He was paired up with him, I think, the final round or the second or Saturday, one of the two. I think it was final round. And he, they asked him, well, what was it like trying to chase down DJ? He's like, oh, when he's that locked in, I just ignore him. I just try to make a few dollars for myself. Like, I got no chance to beat. I'm not going to worry about him. I'm just going to try to make a few dollars for myself. And I'm just like, that's when you know, like, that's how players pay each other respect with comments right. like that. It's like, I can't even compete with you right now. Just get away.
Yeah, it's just fun to watch. I think somebody said something along those same lines when he shot 60 on Friday that they were like, you just sit back and watch it. I mean, like, literally, there's nothing else you can do.
Yeah, what's it like when you're like Leishman who misses the cut and you're sitting there playing with him on Friday? You probably woke up thinking, I'm going to grind to try to make the cut. And then he comes out and he's like 9 under through 8 and you're sitting there going, yeah, I'm just going to go home after this. So
I don't know if you saw him and Answer. Answer was struggling too.
Yeah, Leishman, he missed the cut. Another one of my guys that missed the cut, yeah.
Leishman played better on Friday, but they had cut in on that when Answer had chipped one across the green into the bunker. And so like they're like at that time, he was 9 through 8 or something. There was something pretty close to that. And so Leishman, like after that happened, jumped up and hit his chip shot and just ran it by 20 feet. They were just trying to get out of DJ's way. I know they were. They were just trying to just be as quick as possible. And so it fucks with your game, but. Oh, either yeah. way, it didn't matter for at least for Leishman. I mean, he had to come way back, and I know Answer. I don't really know what he shot.
He wasn't that close either. He put himself out of it pretty quick. So yeah, as you can tell, we can kind of get and rehash the whole thing. It was pretty impressive to watch, but we don't have to sit there the whole time. And the other big takeaway we kind of hinted on is a lot of miscuts, a lot of crazy miscuts that were really surprising. It was good to see Harris English play great again. It really has to suck when you play that great for 4 rounds and you still can't get the W. Like, that's really got to sting a little bit. Leaderboard was pretty good. Pretty good with – it wasn't the biggest name. Siwoo had a good week again, Kisner. A lot of those kind of names. But, you know, we head into the BMW, and there's no Ricky Fowler. There's no Justin Rose. There's no Brooks because Brooks withdrew. We didn't even mention that. He withdrew. He's here to focus on major season now. He's not here to focus on the FedEx Cup. It's a wild time. Rory with two triples on the front nine on Saturday, making us all feel like normal golfers. But before we go full on BMW, any final thoughts of what's going on?
No, man, I'm ready to move on. See what we're gonna get this week.
All right, BMW Championship. It's a rotating event location, Olympia Fields this year. It's only the top 70 in the FedEx Cup. No cut event, the kind Jesse and I love so much. We kind of have past event history. We kind of don't. So what do you got on that front?
Well, so Olympia Fields, the actual golf course, has hosted like a handful of events. The 1925 PGA Championship was won by Walter Hagen here. But most recently, so there's four golfers in the field that played an actual, like, well, it wasn't even a PGA Tour event. It was a U.S. Open at Olympia Fields, which Jim Furyk won back in 2003. Tiger finished tied 20th. Chucky Three Sticks was tied 53rd. Paul Casey missed the cut. Adam Scott missed the cut. So there's four golfers in this field who played this golf course back in 2003. They did host a USAM here, and Bryson DeChambeau won that. I kind of got the impression that they didn't think that this was a difficult enough venue for the US Open, but it had to at least be viewed a little bit as difficult. It's going to be interesting to see how, you know, this golf course plays this week. As far as the event goes, so the BMW Championship, like you said, it's been rotating around. Last year, Justin Thomas, 25 under, three shots over Patrick Cantlay. That was at Medina. Keegan Bradley won the 2018 edition, 20 under, playoff over Justin Rose. That was at Aronimink.
Yep.
That was in Pennsylvania. I think that was wasn't that when they both, like, banked it off the grandstand in the back?
Something like that.
And playoff hole.
Bradley winning is the only way he got into the next round to the East Lake. So it was like a dramatic finish.
And then Justin, because Tiger won the Tour Lake Championship that year. Mm-hmm. And I think Justin Rose won the – it doesn't fucking matter. Yeah. Mark Leishman won this event in 2017, five shots over Fowler and Rose. That was at Conway Farms Golf Club in Lake Forest, Illinois. So, I mean, it's been moving around, but it's never been here. We haven't had an event here since really 2015. That was an amateur event. We haven't had a professional event here since 2003. So go ahead and throw course history out the window.
Yeah, the only course history I've seen people try to mention outside of those is like the Illinois, I think it's the Illini Golf, like Illinois College or whatever, has an event here most years. And if you go into the Slack chat, Dom Walton from Slack chat, he posted like the past results, like Wolf's played here, Hovland. It went as back as far as Reed in college, but like Champs won here before. Obviously, I'd imagine they make this course different because he showed the yardages. It's going to be about 250 more yards this week than it was when they played that. It's going to be a par 70, 7,366 yard golf course, Olympia Fields Country Club, the North Course. It's about 25 minutes from Chicago. It's going to be a very long par 70, if that sounds familiar. Similar to Harding Park a couple weeks ago. That's a very, very logical comparison in golf courses. The fairways are okay early, but they get narrow the farther down you get. In around 300 yards, they get very narrow. So you have to be very accurate off the tee, sometimes take less than driver, because the rough is going to be 5 to 6 inches closer to the 6-inch part come the weekend, it looks like. So you do not want to be on the rough for a very long golf course that has three shortish par fours, like one's under 400, one's around 400, one's like 415. Okay. The rest are about 450 to 500, similar to Harding Park. The closing par four is 510 yards on the 18th hole. That's not short by any means. So if you need a birdie on 18, may God be with you. That's going to be fun. And then the two par fives on the course are both over 600 yards. So getting to those in two might not be the easiest thing either. So the rough's very big, tight fairways. There's going to be bunkering all throughout the course to make you kind of hit it in certain spots. So you're going to be very accurate off the tee. You're going to have a good long iron game, very similar to Harding Park. Bent grass greens, maybe a little bit of POA in there. There's kind of been a weird all different things I've seen on that. But basis is bent grass, maybe a little bit of POA. They're going to be firm. They're going to be fast. That's the kind of looks at things now. So It's going to be fun. For some of these guys, it's going to be good. It's a no-cut event because they might not have a good Thursday or Friday, but at least they get to play four rounds here. With all that being said, Jesse, what kind of key stats are you looking at this week?
Yeah, a lot of accuracy stuff, especially off the tee, green regulation, obviously. I think a good stat to look at, especially on Fantasy National Golf Club, is the opportunities gained. I mean, it kind of just tells you who's hitting it close. You can also look at proximity. From what I've heard, these greens are pretty small. So, you know, you want guys who are accurate on their second shots, preferably in the fairway. Like you said, I would assume that, you know, it's not going to be a birdie fest. I've been wrong about that plenty of times. So, you know what happens when we assume.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to wait more so like scrambling and bogey avoidance, mm-hmm. Those types of stats.
Yeah, and you'd have to imagine, as fun as last week was, there's probably some phone calls made going, we don't want someone hitting even 25 under next week. Like, let's keep these boys like 15 and below. So do what you got to do.
Yeah.
But it's supposed to be the best of the best, and we want to keep it a little competitive because I'd love to know what the ratings look like on Sunday, because I know a lot of people that usually tune in for golf weren't as focused on golf on Sunday.
Yeah,
that was such a blowout. So yeah. That'll be quite interesting there. Check out fanshare.sports.com. Use promo code ALWAYSPRESS to get 20% off the package of your choice. We look at – you can look at all kinds of different things. I just picked a couple guys coming in good form over the last six events. Obviously, DJ's leading the way, kind of like we talked about. But Berger's number two. That's been your boy. You've been riding him every week, it seems like. Harris English at average almost 89 DK points. Kisner, Rahm, Xander round out your top five in current form coming into this course. When you look at the last six events on bent with POA mixed into it, greens, I think that's an interesting way to look at it. Well, look at that. Dustin Johnson last week, 172 DK points. So there's not a lot of bent and POA. Like over the last four, Paul Casey plays well on them. Brian Harman plays well on them. The rest of the guys only had like one tournament on them. So let me scroll a little farther here. Like T-Dunks, he's played well on three events. Mackenzie Hughes, Danny Lee, a couple guys to look at there. But not a lot of guys play these two courses. I think they're more smaller events, not the big boys at those ones. But then last six events, par 70, 7,200 to 7,400 yards, similar to Harding Park. Shocker, the guy that leads the way, Colin Morikawa, who just won at Harding Park. Tiger Woods is second, though. Rory McIlroy third, JT fourth, which makes a lot of sense. But Berger's right there at fifth, Xander sixth. And then only played two of the last six events, but Harry Higgs rates out big there. Finau, DJ, and Joel Dahman played all six of the last six of those. He's averaging 74 DK points, good for 10th on that list. All right, Jesse, let's get cracking. DK, 10K and above. DJ coming in at 11.5. It's been kind of fun with all the mixing and matching of the number ones. The top players change like every week for us, which is was not common for a long time.
No.
John Rahm, 11,000. JT at 10.8. Bryson at 10.6. Rory at 10.3. And Webb at 10.1. So who you like in this week?
So I just went, obviously doing a little prep for this. Went back and kind of looked at what DJ has done after wins traditionally. You know, he's had a win in 10 consecutive seasons on the PGA Tour, which is pretty insane. Obviously, he did have a win earlier this year. It was at the Travelers Championship, but he missed the cut at the Memorial where he shot 80-80, and then he shot 78. And then since then, he's been finished 12th, 2nd, and 1st. I mean, just absolutely insane, insane run. But so if you go back further, he won the Mexico Championship in 2019, and then the next week he finished 5th at the Players. He won the Saudi International, then he finished 45th at the AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am the next week. He won the Canadian Open, then finished 3rd at the Bridgestone, won the St. Jude, finished 3rd at the U.S. Open, won the Tournament Champions, finished 9th in Abu Dhabi, won the Northern Trust, finished 18th at the Dell Technologies. He won back-to-back in 2017. He won back-to-back in 2016. So it's not abnormal. He also won the BMW Championship where it was held at wherever, and then finished 6th the next week at the Tour Championship. So he rarely, when he starts getting going, basically what I'm trying to get at is he doesn't let down. So I like DJ. I like DJ a lot at 11.5. You know, it's obviously hard to argue against him this week after that, coming off that performance. Rahm, I think, is interesting. Like, you know, he tends to just for some reason turn it on Sundays when he's not in contention. He had a pretty good round this past week, finished sixth, scored a lot of points. JT, you know, at 10-8, I think also for GPPs in particular is interesting. His last two finishes, not great, 49th and 37th, Northern Trust and PGA Championship. He did win the St. Jude, which was not even a month ago at this point. So I think he's fine as well. I mean, those are really my top three. Bryson, obviously, from a GPP angle, won the USAM here. I don't know what the hell Rory's deal is, man. I just keep expecting him to have a good weekend, and he's really not had a good weekend since forever.
Long time ago.
I mean, it's like, I guess you go back to the API, but I mean, even there, you know, he finished fifth and he shot 73, 76 on the weekend. Mexico Championship, 68, 68 to finish fifth. I mean, that was all pre-stoppage. I guess the 11th place at the Travelers was okay. I just don't know. But I mean, Webb, another solid week last week. You know, it's hard to argue against any of these guys, except for obviously maybe you can argue against Rory and Bryson. Bryson missed the cut last week, but he does have that weird course history where he won a match play event. I don't know how much you really want to weight that. DJ, man, just fucking play DJ.
Yeah, no, you, when he's on a heater, he's on a heater. That's what you just mentioned, all those stats I was saying earlier. When he had that run he had back in the day when he was number one in the world, he was just dominating at all times. If he wasn't winning, he was T10ing, T5ing almost weekly. And he's a birdie fest. And with the no-cut event like this, DJ at 11-5 is a phenomenal play. Like, he pretty good stuff with him. I like John Rahm. I always like John Rahm if you want to play the ownership game, because he just doesn't get the love that these other guys get. I think JT's going to be popular. DJ probably will be popular. John Rahm will get overlooked in that range. He just will. I said it last week about DJ. He was like 8 to 9%. John Rahm was low on as well, and John Rahm's low on like every week. So I like him at 11K, especially in a pivot in an event like this. And then JT, he's Mr. No Cut. Like there's like three or four guys that I just put on the no cut list, and he's one of them, because no cut events, he's a birdie machine. Even if he has a bad round or a couple bad holes, he comes back and just gets you like three birdies in a row, or he gets you an eagle, or he just does different things to rack up drafting points. The finishing position might not be there, but the drafting points are. And you mentioned he won last year's B&W at Medina, very long course as well. We know he has one of the best long iron games in golf, so I like JT quite a bit. I'll be off of Bryson. I'll be off of Rory. And then Webb's interesting because his game's phenomenal. Another great finish last week, like you mentioned. Is he long enough for this course is the question. If it's not like a birdie fest, then Webb's just fine. But when it comes to drafting scoring, you want guys that almost birdie a lot and bogey a lot. You want both. You want the guys that are just going to go for it, go for broke in your GPPs and go from there. So it's tough to say with Webb. Like, Webb finished 37th at Harding Park. If we're going to compare the two, 37th at 10-1 isn't going to cut it for you. So that's something to think about this week. Very, very good golfer, great iron player, good wood player if he's like, you know, on the par fives or whatever, great around the greens. Like, he's got everything you want. Is he just long enough to get enough birdies is the question with Webb, and I'm kind of torn on that. So if I'm paying up, we're on the same guys. DJ, Rahm, Thomas, all three great plays. You know, mix and match them for your lineups. DJ's probably the best play. I like JT the most for me, but I'm not going to argue the DJ call at all. It's very, very strong. All right, 9K range. You got Xander at 99, Berger at 97, Morikawa at 95, Jason Day let down Jason Day at 92, Scheffler at 9,000. Quite the range. And real quick, I meant to say it earlier. So you mentioned the Morikawa miscut. This is how good I'm running since the restart of golf. Before the restart of golf, DFS Weekly was great. OED was great. Everything was awesome. Since then, it's been a very, very hard roller coaster ride. And OAD, since the restart, I've managed to get Webb Simpson and Morikawa on their two miscuts. So that's been fun.
Oh, God.
That's been really, really fun. That's how run good happens over here. So 9K range. What do you like here?
We've also just plummeted, and I don't know what your current rank is in junkies, but
I was like top five before the stop of golf, and now I think I may be like 60th or something.
I was right there with you. I'm like down to like 58th. It's just over and over. I always, you know, I was usually play three teams. I was just always love to stick my worst team in that. So as far as this 9K range goes, I like them all. I'm just going to narrow it down. Berger, 9,700. Going to keep playing him. The price bump, I hope, takes some of the ownership down. The last time he was above 9,000 was the St. Jude. He was 9,600. He was 15% owned at that point. But, you know, the price last week was too low, in my opinion. I think this is a much more reasonable price for him. So his ownership should come down a little bit. I'll go back to Colin off the missed cut. I mean, I don't really care. The last time he missed the cut, his only missed cut before this past missed cut, he turned around and won the Workday Charity Open. So, you know, I'm going right back to him. And if this is going to be a similar tree line type of golf course to where he just won the PGA Championship, for sure. Scotty Scheffler at 9,000, man. Talk about tilting. You know, I mentioned him as a good stats play last week because he's been hitting the ball really well. And, of course, he shoots 59 and scores 1,000 DraftKings points. I didn't play him because I kind of only played five lineups last week. I don't know. I didn't do my normal, like, 20 in the $3.20 max. Enough about me. Scotty Scheffler just playing. The guy's playing too well. I don't mind Xander and Jason Day at all, but, you know, I'm not going to pick five out of five. I only pick three out of five.
Yeah. No, it's tricky. Xander's another one of the guys like JT, no cut events. I love him. I played him at the WGC, finished 10th. He would have contended for the win. He had one horrible hole, and he missed by like three or four strokes. So I like Xander. We need birdies. He's a guy that does very well on no cut events. He finished sixth at the WGC. He finished 10th at Harding Park with a 13th and 14th prior to that, 25th last week. I can go back to Xander at 99. Got no problem with that at all. Burgers and Fuego, I have really nothing more to say about him. He's been playing great golf. So if you want to play Daniel Berger, go for it. Like, there's nothing I can tell you there. He's just a top 10 machine pretty much, 13th at Harding Park. But other than that, he's been top three other than that. So go there. But I like Xander at 99 quite a bit. You can definitely go back to Colin, as you mentioned. No problem there. Scotty Scheffler is very good at that. He's a birdie machine. Like, there's nothing wrong with that at all. Fourth place last week, fourth place at Harding Park, 15th at the WGC. So playing some pretty darn good golf at 9K is price tags up compared to what we're used to. So this 9K range is really fun. Kind of makes paying up for 10K not as necessary, I'd say.
It doesn't make it as appealing, right?
Yeah, given JT and DJ can just torch any golf course on the planet. So that's the only conundrum you can have. But, you know, you could go Xander, Berger, Morikawa, Scheffler, any combination of maybe two of those guys or even three if you want to get cheap. And do just fine. My favorite plays. Well, we'll get to those later. But those are the four guys I'm kind of targeting there because all of them can be birdie machines, and that's what I'm looking for. So I don't care if they'll have a hiccup here and there. That's just the way it is. Give me birdies. Give me drafting scoring. It's a no cut event. We'll be just fine in the end. All right, 8K range here. You got Patrick Cantlay, $8,900. He's been in a funk since the restart. Patty Reed at 88, 87 for Finau. Woods at 86. Hideki 85. 84 for Kiz, 83 for English, 83 for Hatton, Scott and Wolf at 82, Casey and Hovland at 81, and Horschel and Oosty at 8K. Very large 8K range. How do you narrow this one down?
Yeah, start with Finau. I mean, off the miscut, I think he's fine. Obviously, no cut this week. We don't have to worry about that. Guy can make birdies in bunches and was playing very well before that miscut. You know, fourth at the PGA Championship, 65th, St. Jude, third, eighth, 3M and Memorial. So, and you know, if you look at like it, if you think that this is going to be a little bit more of a difficult track, especially than last week, you look at the most recent, you know, the PGA Championship difficult fourth, the Memorial difficult eighth. So if you're looking for a little bit of a kind of a glimmer of hope for Tony there, Harris English, I mean, you know, 8,300, I don't know why you wouldn't play him. Except for a bit of the price increase there, obviously, but that, you know, the guy scored 130.5 DraftKings points last week and finished second. I don't expect him to shoot 19 or 20 under this week, but either way, 8,300, I think he's fine. I think I like Scott for GPPs, 8,200. He did play here, you know, like I'd mentioned at the beginning, way back in 2003. It doesn't really matter, but he's made two straight cuts on tour since he's come back, and he's only played the PGA Championship where he finished 22nd, and then obviously last week at the Northern Trust. He had one bad round. He shot 75, which is four over par, and you really could say the one under par round, too, and on Friday was bad. But he started off pretty well, ended pretty well. I like him in GPPs. Matt Wolf, he's hitting the ball well. He shot 77 on Saturday this past week, but other than that, played well, so – I don't know why you wouldn't go back to him. Hovland's kind of the same boat. Louis Oosthuizen's interesting. You know, here's the thing about Louis. I don't want to play Louis Oosthuizen if he's going to be above 10% ownership.
Yeah, never.
Don't want to do it. I mean, he came in last week 6%. The week before that, 6%. Solid little 13th place finish with a 73 on Sunday when everybody was going low. He shoots two over. I played him actually on my showdown team, and it got there to make money, which is fine because for some reason I played in like this little four-man winner take all, and only half of us, so two out of four, play DJ.
Oh wow! So you're already ahead of the crew big time.
It's really odd to me. Either way, that's totally getting off topic. I mean, it just depends on if you really want to tilt Louis or not. I like the bottom half of this better than I do the top half. You know, there's some decent plays up here, but like Cantlay, I don't know. I'm sure you'll pick Reed. Woods, I wouldn't really deal with. Matsuyama, I saw him make some like terrible putts. You'll probably be on Kisner, so I'll leave those guys for you.
Hey, you got part of me right. I will not be on Reed this week. I do like the bottom half.
What?
More. Well, the only reason why, and it'll probably bite me in the ass, is his off the tee game. It varies so much right now. And if he's in the rough, you know, you can only pad the rough so much in your backswing. Like, that's true. So much there.
I mean, we saw it. Mm-hmm. What happened on his 36th hole where he had to make birdie and he misses the green 20 yards left and flops it in the hole somehow.
I wish you guys could see the text message chain because Jesse doesn't play Reed very often. And I'm sitting, I didn't realize he was on Reed in a very important 6-6 lineup he was trying to get. And I said, man, are you seeing Reed scores today? It's like birdie, birdie, double, double. Like, it's just all over the board. He goes, yeah. And I won't repeat what else took place in that text message. But all of a sudden, that second shot, and I get this, and I'm basically done, like, type situation. And then, oh, my goodness.
Like, yeah. I mean,
I didn't realize how bad it was. All I saw, he got the birdie to make the cut. I didn't realize.
I wrote him scenario. Off.
So, yeah, that was quite entertaining to me that he made the cut. But he's just all over the place right now. So I can't put my faith in him. One guy I will go back to is Tony Finau for the missed cut. I mentioned my no-cut event guys. Finau's another birdie machine. Finished fourth at the Harding Park, 65th at the WGC because he's tanked. But then a third and an eighth prior to that. I'll go to a guy like, even when he finished 65th, I'd have to go back. He scored probably pretty good in DraftKings for his finishing position. So 87 for Finau, I'm all aboard that train. Kiz at 84, I'll ride that streak. Fourth, third, 19th, 25th, his last four events. He missed a cut in a third place back at the Rocket Mortgage as well. So he's a guy that the biggest thing that's going to help Kiz is he's not super long. It's similar to Webb, but he's a lot cheaper than Webb, is Kiz will keep it in the fairway, and that'll keep him in play. So if he just has like a hot day or two, which we've seen the last couple of weeks at events, he'll be putting up some birdies for you. So I don't mind Kiz at 84. Like, if you're paying cash, I could see Kiz being good. I don't condone cash in these kind of events. But if you are, Kiz and Harris English could be two good guys. Second, 23rd, 19th, 18th, 13th, 17th. So top 20 machine basically for English. Both of them I like quite a bit going into this week. And you'd have to imagine English's head's okay, because usually if you finish runner-up and you grinded your ass off, you'd be pretty torn. But when you really never had a chance, you really never had your mindset go into battling to win the title. So, like, unless he was battling to stay out of third, there was really nothing that should be stressful for him in that event. So English at 83, I'm on board with that. I like Scott in the GPPs, like you mentioned, because we're about to get Scott's third round in 4 weeks. I don't remember the last time we saw that, Jesse. Like, it's been a long time.
Yeah.
So you've seen Adam Scott play that much golf. So Adam Scott at 82. And then Matty Wolf, he's played a lot. He's played two or three times at this course for that Illini Challenge or whatever it was, and he's finished pretty well, like top 13 or better in all two or three events he's been to. So I don't mind him at all at that event at 8,200, because he's another guy, GPP-type stuff. He's an all or nothing. When he's on, he can definitely keep it long and competitive at this event. So that's kind of where I'm looking in this 8K range. Finau, Kiz, English, Scott, and Wolf is where I'll be planting my flag. But, yeah, some interesting options. Like, Hovland will probably be very popular. I've seen his name a lot because he's played here before. But I'd rather go to Wolf and roll the dice with his upside. 7K range, Jesse, 7,500 and above. Who stands out to you?
Yeah, start with Russell Henley. Just going to keep playing him. He's just hitting the ball so well. And two straight top 10s. He did make the cut at the PGA where he finished 37th. Dude's just – he's hitting it close. If he ever gets a real hot putter round, I think he can be in contention. Huge if with him. So keep that in mind if you play him. He's tilting to watch on the old shot tracker. Ryan Palmer, dude, played pretty well last week. $7,600. Finished eighth. Really solid round there on Sunday. Four straight made cuts for him. He did make the cut at the PGA Championship, finished 43rd. Jason Kokrak, I think he had to birdie his last hole to get in the field, which he did. Shot 65 on Sunday. You know, he's not really traditionally in the fairway a lot, but he could be an interesting GPP play. I'll talk a little bit about strategy at the end of this, but I mean, there's plenty of guys in this range, like Norin, who I would consider a really good tee to green guy. He played well last week, finished in the top 10, finished eighth. Hit a shit ton of greens in regulation, but a little bit wonky with the driver. Fitzpatrick had a really good round, come back on Friday, 77-66 to miss the cut. But he's interesting, too, to go back to. I mean, he was not owned last week at all. What do you think?
Yeah, he's one of those guys. We talked about him quite a bit. He's one of the he's in a funk right now, but going into it, he's playing really good golf. So when Fitzy's unowned, I'm a big fan. I really like an unowned Fitz because he's a great ball striker when things are right. You just got to wonder if things are right, and we kind of were texting about it. He was playing really good when Bones was on his bag, and then he changed caddies again. So I don't know who his guy is or if they're not figuring it out, but I don't hate it. If he's low-owned, he's definitely a good play. Him and, like, Oosty right there next to each other price-wise could be very interesting ownership-wise. But for me in this 7K range, I agree going back to Henley, just striking the ball so well. He's not – like, the longer course could affect him a little bit. 37th at Harding Park, I could see that being an issue. Still, he's going to keep it in the fairway and play very, very strong for you. So I don't mind that at all. Ryan Palmer is one I like. He came back and made the cut at Harding Park on Friday because I tilted that one hard. Finished eighth last week. But the thing about Ryan Palmer, we saw it over his 4 days last week, he'll have bad holes. But if you give him four rounds, he's going to have some streaks where he puts up a lot of birdies, no matter what size of the golf course it is. That's how he got back into the weekend at Harding Park. He's very good at that kind of stuff. He will blow up and just tilt your head. But in a no-cut event, Palmer is very, very interesting at $7,600. So I have no problem looking at Ryan Palmer in that scenario. And then the only other guy, $7,500 and above, like my 7K range is pretty shrunk actually this week. I will go to Cam Champ. Missed the cut last week, but 10th at Harding Park. So a lot of similarities there. 25th the week before at the WGC. He's won at this golf course in a collegiate event. I think him and a GPP at $7,500, it's just a matter of can he be accurate off the tee. And if he's accurate off the tee, he can definitely compete at this course. He's long enough. His wedge game can be good enough. So Cam Champ at $7,500 is someone I'll definitely take a peek at. Who do you like $7,000 to $7,400?
Start with Matt Kuchar, $7,400. Again, we're just going to keep pricing Matt Kuchar down here. I understand not had the greatest year in the world. 18th place last week. He did miss the cut of the PGA Championship. Four straight cuts before that made. I'm totally fine with him. Corey Connors, dude, hit a lot of fairways last week. And if this is going to be an accuracy type of deal here where we got to hit it in the fairway, the guy has been hitting a shit ton of fairways recently, basically at about an 80% clip, which is really strong. He did miss the cut at the Wyndham Championship and the PGA, but he did finish 25th last week, GPP only. And, I mean, that's pretty much it for me, below 7,500. I got a few more, and obviously in the 6Ks, but they really shrunk down the 7K region this week, didn't they?
Yeah, I'm not really in love with this range. Like, you got Kevin Nas, you got Connors, like you mentioned, fairway-type guys. But the only one I really have circled here is Brendan Todd because 17th at Harding Park, 15th at WGC, 64th last week. But he's another guy that – I keep going on the same – like, people are going to think I'm a broken record. But we've seen Todd go on birdie streaks. And also, he's one of the better fairway finders in all of golf, like one of the best in all of golf. I'm trying to get guys to stay in the fairway – and can have chances to birdie putt. And that is what Brendan Todd does so, so well. So Todd at 74 is who I'm going to be targeting. Other than that, there's really not a ton I have circled right now in the 7K range. So I'm really kind of – I'm going to stay in the upper 7s, 8s, and then in the 6K range I have a handful of guys I like. So going into the 6K range, who are you targeting?
Brian Harman, 6,900. Lonto at 6,900 as well. If you're talking about Harman here, 11th place last week, four straight made cuts on tour. Obviously, no cut this week, so it doesn't matter, but dude's been hitting it pretty well. His tee-to-green game is usually pretty solid. He hit 82% of the fairways last week. Lonto at 69 as well. Okay finish last week. You know, he was 6,700 last week and scored 72 points. So it's about 25, 26 points over what you would expect for somebody in that range. So the guy just continues to turn out solid finishes for wherever he's priced. Brendan Steele, man, I thought I played him last week, and I didn't. Instead, I played Henrik Norlander twice, which was a huge mistake because he missed the cut. But Brendan Steele's just been playing really solid golf recently. So I like him at 66. And then Harry Higgs, dude, at 61, coming off a really, really good tournament for him. Four straight missed cuts from the Workday Charity Open to the Wyndham Championship, and then just all of a sudden out of nowhere, 11th place finish. He obviously liked that golf course last week, but he hit it really well around there too. Hit almost 70% of the fairways, almost 75% of the greens in regulation. So Harry at 6,100, I will take some of that. Sebastian Munoz too at 63, I think is okay. Danny Lee at 63. You got any love for Danny Lee this week?
I'm not on Danny Lee right now. I can see the argument, but no.
Did you get to watch any of the Sunday coverage? Sorry to interrupt you.
No, I did not.
My God, they showed every effing Danny Lee shot that they possibly could. And I just don't really understand why, because he finished 18th. But they were loving some Danny Lee Sunday on CBS.
They must, well, CBS coverage, you know, striking. They do great things. CBS is phenomenal at golf coverage. They're so good at it. But for me in this range, I'm 100% on Lanto again. I was on him last week. Like you said, he finished 58th, but DraftKings-wise, much better than that. Another guy that if he's accurate off the tee, he can definitely contend on these longer courses. So I like Lanto quite a bit. Joel Dahman at 65, missed the cut last week, but 10th at Harding Park, 20th the week before. No cut event. I'll take Joel Dahman to go get some. We know he likes to play for the cash. So let's see him go get crazy out there. Fratelli's another guy I'll go back to this week at 6,500. Let a lot of people down with the missed cut, but coming in really good form prior to that. So I'll go back to Fratelli at 6,500. And then the last guy I'll look at here, usually a guy you're on, and I don't think I didn't, unless I missed it. Adam Long, $6,300, 49th last week, 31st, 51st, 2nd in his last four events. He's played here in college a couple of times, played pretty well. $6,300 bucks for a guy that can run hot at times. Any love for Adam Long?
I won't play him, so he'll probably top 10. Especially since you asked me about him in particular.
That's kind of where I'm at right now, but obviously no cut event. A lot of things can change up till then, but we'll kind of talk about that more in the Slack chat as owner, because you can definitely pay ownership down there. Usually it's pretty spread out. Like even Lanto was super low on last week, which shocked me, but you can definitely get some leverage in the 6K range in a no cut event when they're all going to be playing. Like Harry Higgs at 61 is a great call. He likes these longer courses. We were talking about that in the fan share section. So he's a guy you can definitely take a peek at as well. All right, let's recap things real quick. 10K and above, your number one play.
Dustin Johnson.
It's a great play. I'll go Justin Thomas to be a little different. 9K range, who is your number one play?
I'm going to have to say Berger. I would say Morikawa if he didn't miss the cut last week, but I'm going to go with Berger.
Berger's playing great. I'll go with Xander. Xander would be my guy. 8K range. It's loaded, so give me two.
I'm going to say Harris English, shocker, and then just to get a little bit different, Adam Scott.
I like the Scott call. I'll go Finau and Wolf. For some reason, I'm gravitating to Wolf, and hopefully that doesn't bite me in the ass. Since 7K is so depleted, let's just do the whole 7K range and give me two guys.
Russell Henley, for sure, and then Corey Connors.
Give me Kevin Kisner. He's in this range, right?
No, he's in the 8K
range. 8K range. God damn, I just missed it. I thought I was reading him. He's getting priced up. He's playing so good. Here's my list now. 7K range. Give me Ryan Palmer and Cam Champ. Those would be two guys I'll be looking at. 6K range. Who's your top 6K player?
Lonto would be the top one, but honorable mention to Brendan Steele.
Yeah, I'll take some Lonto as well. That'll be my guy. Also, if I want to go honorable mention, I'll go Joel Damon would be my honorable mention. We don't condone cash in these events, so if you're doing that, you can come hit us up later, because no cut events, you're playing with fire. I think some people learned that recently. GPP, if you're starting a GPP, though, what three guys are you starting with?
So I like to put Adam Scott in the GPP lineup. I think Corey Connors is totally fine. And then I'm taking one of those guys up top in just about every lineup, whether it be DJ Rahm or – JT, but I'll say, you know, DJ.
Yeah, Xander would be my number one. I'll go Xander, JT, and Wolf will be my three in a GPP to see where things go there, which obviously means I'll probably throw in Lanto in there because I have JT. So you have four, basically, going that direction if you want to really get the gist of it. Now the fun part, and I really had issues trying to figure this out, looking at odds and trying to decipher this one, because who you got winning this thing?
Let me pull up the odds, too.
Yeah, like Xander at 16, it's short, but in a short field, I don't hate it.
If he had been playing a little bit better, yeah, I wouldn't necessarily. I think that's a little bit low on him. I don't mind Morikawa at 22. I would bite on that. Starts getting a little tougher here when we start narrowing this field down. If you want somebody longer odds, Corey Connors, 125-1.
That's not bad for longer odds. I can get with that. My longer odd, it won't be 125-1. God, Matt Wolf's only 40? My goodness. Like, he's the same odds as Tiger frickin' Woods.
Yeah.
Oh, I like Wolf just because if you need a birdie like fest, he can get there. That's intriguing. Another guy possibly that could be, if it's say like a 13 under wins the thing, Paul Casey at 66 is interesting. Like, none of us mentioned him. He played well at Harding Park. He can just slow and steady, like, bleed you to death if it's not a massive birdie fest.
Yeah, so. I could see that. 66 wouldn't be bad. We all missed the boat on not everybody. I saw some people on Twitter doubling up with Phil at this Champions Tour event, and then
taking in some of the chalk like JT or something, and he gets some pretty good odds. Yeah. Like, how much? Because today was round one of the Champions Tour, I think, and so they play three rounds over there. He shot 10 under. I don't know how much he's leading by, but I'm guessing like four or five at least. How much do you think he wins this whole thing by? He's not losing it.
I'd say 10.
Yeah. He's going to try to do his best JT, basically.
Best DJ?
TJ, sorry. Yeah. Man, I'm all over the board right now. So we got a couple listener questions over here from the chat here, because you can watch us on StreamYard or on YouTube TV Live, and then go check us out on YouTube on the Fantasy Sports DJ's YouTube channel, or just do the podcast thing as always. But Dominic Walton from the Slack chat asked, Naught and Webb are great par 70 course guys, but are they long enough to actually contend this week? We kind of talked about it, and I'm slightly concerned. I'd still be okay chancing Webb. Naught, I'm concerned with. What about you, Jesse?
Yeah, Naught was a little bit wonky with the driver last week, too. If you kind of go back and look at his stats there, he didn't hit as many fairways as I would think. And obviously, if you're shorter and you're not hitting fairways on this course, you might get in trouble. But, you know, I would look at it from, you know, if you're playing multiple lineups, I wouldn't mind one with Nolan Webb and then a few other short hitters, just in case, you know, accuracy is more important this week than distance.
Yeah, no, I'm with you there. If accuracy is important, Webb is he's well worth it. And if accuracy is as important as we're making it out to be right now, if it actually happens that way, scoring will be low. So Webb definitely comes more into play. I'd like the Casey comment, a lot of those guys become much more into play this week. Our buddy Mike Tuck, who is awesome at NASCAR. If you guys want to play some NASCAR, Trucks, Finity, Cup, The Works, these guys got it handled over there. He's asking thoughts on Munoz and Gooch, which is interesting because Munoz, what, he birdied the first seven holes on Thursday and then kind of disappeared? Yeah, but we know they're birdie makers. Do you have any thoughts on them?
Yeah, I'm not a huge Munoz. I mean, I mentioned him earlier. You know, he's GPP only, obviously. You know, if you're deciding between the two, I'd probably look more at Gooch. He played really well last week. But I probably won't play either one of them.
Yeah, no, I'm probably off them both. I could see it if you're doing a 20 max, which Tuck does the Cascade weekly. I could see that being an option, but you'd have to max it for sure. Tucker also asked, he's a newbie, but this will be a different no cut event for him because he did the WGC, which is a little different. This is close, but top 70 golfers. How do you approach an event like this, Jesse?
I don't really necessarily think about it any differently as far as constructing lineups. I just don't play as much money as I normally would, just because the volatility is insane. At that WGC, you know, I was top 10 at 5:30 p.m. So at the St. Jude, I was top 10, battling it out for the win, and finished like 200th or something. When it was all said and done. So, I mean, like, this shit just can flip on you just so quick in these events. It's very volatile. So I cut my money back. Other than that, you know, I just if I'm playing a GPP, I'm, you know, going into it with that mindset, which is all I play. You know, you already mentioned we don't play cash this week.
Don't play cash this week. And Dom Walton also mentions at the last comment here that Casey apparently tweeted out, and I didn't see it, that he's running on fumes right now after playing 6 weeks in a row.
Oh, really?
Take that as you wish. Take that as you wish, because we've seen guys do that, and then they come out and, you know, they're 2% owned and go ahead and torch things. So maybe he can let up on the practice rounds there, Paul. Something like that. Just a thought. So what are your final thoughts, though, Jesse, as we get ready for the second leg of the FedEx Cup?
You know, with this being – I mentioned this at the PGA Championship. We really didn't know how exactly that course would play. But, you know, if you're of the mindset, like Bubba mentioned, that it's going to play similar to that as far as tree-lined, you know, you want to keep it in the fairway. These greens are definitely small. We know that. You know, maybe – check out that leaderboard and make up a lineup off of, you know, off of that leaderboard, because that wasn't that long ago at all. But then again, it might not be as difficult as we think. Now, if the rough is up, like you said, it's not going to be easy. You're gonna have to keep in the fairway. So you either need guys who have good short games, or guys who hit it in the fairway a lot. But I would approach it similarly, like I mentioned back at the PGA Championship, where I think of it as make some birdie fest lineups just in case, and then also, you know, more of a bogey avoidance type of lineup as well. So just kind of go off of it that way. It's we just don't know how it's going to play, because we've not had a tournament here since 2003, and we've never had a DFS tournament here at all. So
yeah, hopefully it's fun. The course looks pretty cool. We don't know for sure, but it's going to be challenging. And lastly, before we sign off, we didn't mention it at the beginning, but with all the, you know, travel restrictions and everything, you know, the Asian swing's not going to happen. The CJ Cup is going to be at Shadow Creek in Vegas this year.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've had to have seen pictures. It's a freaking amazing golf course. I cannot wait to see. And it's like a WGC, so it's a limited field type deal. It's not WGC, but it's limited field. I know that
much. Yeah, it is.
And I can't wait to see all these guys in Vegas at this course. I don't know about you, but it's going to be freaking awesome.
Yeah, yeah, that'll be fun, man. I figured that they would either cancel that or potentially
That's money, baby.
I mean, they change it around. Yeah, I mean, that makes more sense than just outright canceling it. But it'll be fun to watch that golf course for sure. I've heard good things about it.
Yeah, and then the other WGC event from Asia, that's going to Sherwood Golf Course. I think they're both close to Vegas. I think I could be wrong, but it's going to be fun. They are calling it the Vegas Swing, is what they're calling it. So it'll be easy for the golfers. You know, they're not going to hate that at all. So that'll be pretty cool. But all right, that'll wrap us up for the week. If you guys give it a rate us and review us on iTunes, that'd be much appreciated. You can check out Jesse on Twitter at DFS Golf Gods. I am at BD and Trick, the podcast at Always Press DFS. Good luck this week. Next week, we have a 30-man field at East Lake. So enjoy the 70-man while you got it. But good luck. We'll catch you guys later.